Amen. Proverbs chapter number 1. Amen. Thank God for the goodness of the Lord. Amen. Pray for us. We started therapy this week, and so it seemed like they've helped me with the headaches. I've not had headaches of the morning nowhere near like I have been having, so that's a great blessing. And so we praise the Lord for that. And if you just continue to pray for us, Lord, let us get some of that stuff lined out. That'll be a great blessing. Amen. Proverbs chapter number 1, you should have these few verses memorized by the time we're done, if we ever get finished. But we'll read, let's stand to our feet and we'll read these verses together and then we'll let you be seated. Proverbs chapter number 1, verse 1. The Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel. To know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice and judgment and equity, to give subtlety to the simple, to the young man knowledge and discretion. A wise man will hear and will increase learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsel. To understand a proverb and the interpretation, the words of the wise and their dark sayings. Then verse 7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. You can be seated. We have used these verses to introduce our study of our responsibility that revolves around the various words that we have picked out of various chapters in the book of Proverbs. And there's so much truth and so many different angles that you could look at things from the book of Proverbs, but our main focus has been just trying to pick out words that revolve around what we need to do, amen, to experience a good, godly, fulfilling Christian life as we serve the Lord. We have brought this out. We know that the theme of the book of Proverbs is wisdom. That's what the writer is trying to accomplish at the end of the day. That everybody that reads this book would have from that reading wisdom. We said this, that wisdom, of course, is the skill and the know-how of using knowledge. That's what wisdom is. You can know a lot of things, but if you're not able to implement that knowledge into a skill set, then that knowledge is of no value. It may impress people around you when you talk about the things that you are versed in or know, but if you can't do anything with that that accomplishes anything productive in life, then it's just vain. And so wisdom is the ability to take that knowledge and put it in a skill set and accomplish something. A proverb, of course, is a short statement that summarizes a wise principle. And so basically, these are little catchy sayings and phrases for the most part that are catchy but are figurative and illustrative, and in doing so the writer is trying to catch your attention to point you in a direction that wisdom could be obtained by you as an individual. There is a fourfold purpose in the book that is found in these verses, and I will repeat this probably every Wednesday night we look at this, so if you're going to get bored with it, you might as well get bored with it tonight, because I want this to be embedded in your mind. We understand that the word to know is in verse 2. Know is the acknowledging and the admission of things. And so that is the main thrust of the book, to know. Then to perceive is in that verse. That means to understand, in short. Then to receive is in verse 3. And then to give. God is wanting to entrust us with some things. He wants us to receive and lay hold on some things. He wants us to understand them. God don't want you to be in the dark. And God wants you to know them, and in that knowledge, act acknowledge and admit to those truths. And the beginning of all of that, where it's generated in our heart and mind, is found in verse 7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. And so that is very important. So I want you to turn to chapter number 4 with us, if you would. We've got some things in both chapter 4 and chapter 5 that we may look at. I'm sorry, not chapter 4, chapter 5. Chapter 5 and chapter number 6 that we want to try to look at. And so I've tried to read through these chapters several times, and I think that I have the words that I feel like bring about our responsibility in acting upon truth that will allow us to gain this wisdom. So I got up this morning, and I've been switching around some things on my schedule and my Bible reading, and man, when I get in that kind of rut, it's very troubling and frustrating for me when I can't get settled on what Bible I'm going to use to read out of, or if I'm going to use the iPad. And Brother Robert Jarvis sent me a program that he's kind of developed for Bible reading and being able to take notes while you're reading, and so I'm in the middle of trying to figure out which way I want to go as far as what I want to use and how I want to be productive in my reading and in my study. And I, from that, had forgotten where I was at in the book of Exodus. And so I looked in all of my Bibles that I was using and my iPad and all the other programs that I'd been using, and I could not find where I'd bookmarked my place in the book of Exodus. And so with that being said, my memory's not the best in the world, and I realize that, amen, more than you do. But so I just got up this morning and started in chapter 1. Amen. So anyway, long story short, in my reading, something stood out. I read about, 13 or 14 chapters in the book of Exodus this morning. And so in my reading, there's something that I've read it time and time again, but it never really just kind of jumped out at me until this morning. And there are two factors. There are two factors in the motive that Moses presented to Pharaoh that involved letting the children of Israel go. So there were two things that he said, basically, and that was the thrust, and it's repeated several times in the book of Exodus, and that was the reason or the motive that Moses was telling the Pharaoh there in Egypt, that this is the reason that you need to let God's people go. Do you know what those were? There's two of them. Anybody guess tonight? He said, you need to let them go so that we might what? Serve and sacrifice. Serve and sacrifice. I thought that was unique with what I dealt with on Sunday, and we'll be preaching on Sunday morning. And so I began to think about that this morning after I read that in conjunction with what I'll deal with here in just a few moments, especially in chapter number 5. And so he said, the people of God need to serve and sacrifice, but we got to leave here to do it. That's relevant. And so I put it this way in my notes. No one can serve God, and no one can sacrifice to the Lord when they are in bondage to Egypt. And that's something to think about. I mean, you can probably build on that and develop a good message, amen. But you cannot serve nor sacrifice, and God be willing to accept it, when you are in bondage to Egypt. And Egypt, we know, is a type of the world, a type of the flesh. And if you're here tonight and you say, I'm going to serve God, but you're caught up in the world and you're in bondage to the things of the world, and that's not my message tonight, amen, I'm telling you, you are not going to serve God. You are not going to offer a sacrifice. And we talk about New Testament dispensational sacrifices that are relevant. There's the sacrifice, amen, of giving yourself to God. Romans 12:1. I preached about them years ago. The sacrifices offered in the dispensation of grace. There's the sacrifice of fellowship to do good and to communicate to do good and to communicate, forget not, for with such sacrifices God is well pleased. There's the sacrifice of praise. There's many sacrifices, and I probably ought to bring that out and preach it again, amen, that we are, amen, to perform in the dispensation of grace. But you are not going to do that and bring glory to God and fulfill the purpose of God in your life as a child of God if you are controlled, if you are in bondage to Egypt. So may I sum it up, and I'll preach again, Lord willing, this Sunday on serving the Lord. All that we preach and all that we teach is purposed to keep you in a position so that you can serve and sacrifice to the glory of God. That should be the goal of every Sunday school teacher in this building. When you stand before your class, you should have a desire not just to give them knowledge of the Word of God, but you should give them knowledge that would bring about a manifestation of wisdom, spiritual wisdom, for the purpose that they would serve and sacrifice to God, and they would keep themselves in a position and in a spiritual place to do so. I had no intention to spend that much time there, so I probably got more material than I'll finish. Amen. But I want you to keep that at the forefront of your mind tonight. Amen. All these words that I've talked about in Proverbs, all these practical thoughts that we've dealt with, all of that is for you to understand how important it is for you to keep yourself in a position where you can serve and sacrifice. So these responsibilities are based on these words that we are presenting, and they are key factors in maintaining that ability. So verse number 1 of chapter number 5, and I'm going to try to tie all of these together in chapter 5 to some degree in just a moment. So listen carefully. In verse 1 of Proverbs chapter 5, my son, and some of these words, look at me, some of these words, you said, well, you've already talked about that word. Well, I'm going to probably talk about it again. There might be some different context or different slant to it, and I'm not going to try to, you know, beat you to death with one word, but if it's relevant, then I'm going to try to give it to you. If I skim over it, then you know I've already dealt with it to the degree I think I need to deal with it in that regard. So in verse number 1 of chapter number 5, my son, attend unto my wisdom and bow thine ear to my understanding. Verse 2, that thou mayest regard discretion and that thy lips may keep knowledge. And so in those verses, pretty much about everything, not everything, but most everything that is said in chapter 5 that brings out a responsibility on our behalf is seen in those two verses. The first word is the word attend. And I think maybe someone may have said something about that. I don't know if Brother Craig may have said that, something about that this Sunday in Sunday school or some Sunday in the past. Somebody did anyway. I remember hearing it. The word attend simply means to give attendance to or to pay attention to. It means to listen with purpose. Now, you're listening to me tonight because you have no choice. Unless you got your hearing aids off, like Brother Tim did when I asked him something in the prayer room a little while ago. Some of you fellas wear hearing aids, you mash that button when your wife's hollering at you or whatever you do. Amen. But if you are sitting in this building, you are hearing me talk. But that doesn't mean you're attending to what I'm saying. Because when you are in attendance to what I'm saying, you are listening with an effort on your behalf, amen, to fulfill a purpose. That's very important. And so here's what he's saying. He said, my son, attend unto my wisdom. Now, this is Solomon talking to his boy. And what he is saying, he said, you need to pay attention to my wisdom. You need, amen, to listen with purpose at what I'm saying. And so what he's telling him in gist is this: you need to observe the outcome of objective decisions. And we could go and we could take a time to look at the wisdom of Solomon and how he implemented that in various things that he dealt with as king and as an individual. And we could look at that. And that's not my point tonight. I want you to understand the lesson of responsibility that is laid out in this word. And what he is telling us is you need to look at the choices and the decisions that I have made from the wisdom that God has granted me, and you need to look at how the outcome turned out when I was following the wisdom of God. He said, you need to attend to it. In other words, you need to look at what I was confronted with. You need to look at the decision that I made, and you need to look at the objective and the accomplishment. You need to pay attention to that. Now, everybody wants to be their own man. I understand that. And everybody wants to make their own choices. And everybody wants to make their own decisions. But you're an idiot, and I say that without apology. You're an idiot to be making a decision about something when someone else has already made a decision about that and been successful, and somebody right beside of him has made a different decision about the same choice and made a shipwreck or failure of it, then you got a major problem. And so Solomon is saying with this word attend, give attendance, listen with purpose. Then he says in verse 1, he says, you need to bow thine ear to my understanding. So here's what you got to do. You have a choice tonight as to whether or not you're going to listen to what I say and give attention to it. Amen. You're going to make a choice. You're responsible, amen, to listen with purpose. But then he said, you need to bow. You need to bow thine ear to my understanding. And what that word means, it means to reverence. It means to submit to it. That's what the word bow means. Basically, it is this. It is a self-willed act toward truth. So when I get truth, whether it comforts me or whether it convicts me, if someone distributes or declares to me a measure of truth, then what I do with that truth, basically, if I can say it the right way, what I do with that truth is going to explain to the world around me how I had, what kind of relationship I had with it. That may not be put very well, but if I'm going to bow to it, whether I like it or not, if it's the truth and I bow to it, then I've reverenced that based on truth. And I've submitted myself to it. And I have acted with my will to obey that. And you know, I see young men and sometimes grown men have a problem with that. Well, I'm not, that preacher ain't gonna tell me what to do. I mean, we've seen that in the years we've been here. He's not gonna tell me. Well, he's not trying to tell you what to do. He's trying to tell you the truth. The preacher's not a control freak. He's trying to unveil to you truth from the Bible. And if you think that is him trying to control your life, then you're not even on the ship this evening. His goal and purpose is to tell you the truth and for you to act with your will, to bow to it and submit to it, because it's simply the truth. So he says, attend, listen with purpose. Then he says, bow to it. Realize this is important. This is sacred. This is reverent. And so it's worthy of me submitting to it. Amen. So you respect it. Amen. So before you think you know more than someone else, or you're smarter than maybe your dad, or you know, you just, dad's an old fogey, he don't have no sense, you know, and that you know, you might want to stop long enough to take a look at what he has achieved with his life up to this point. Amen. You may want to take a look at the house he owns that you're living in. Your choices hadn't got you one yet. You might want to stop and take a... Is anybody listening tonight? You may want to stop and consider the life that he's lived and the choices that he's made that's brought him to where he's at. Amen. And find out whether or not, amen, you're as smart as you think you are when it comes to comparing your wisdom to his. And I realize sometimes young men and young ladies have to look in a different direction when it comes to finding someone as an example to follow and get direction and guidance in some areas. And I know that. I've pastored various groups of people through the years. And sometimes, amen, I have seen children do the opposite of their parents because they said, I'm not going to live that way, the way they live. Always in a bind, always behind, always, you know, never enough to pay the bills, blowing money here and there. And I've seen young families, amen, get together and say, that's not the way I want my family. I'm not going to do it like mom and dad. And I'm not being critical, but that's been the case. Amen. And so what you need to do is you need to take wisdom and that has been implemented in someone's life and you say, you know, he's this age. And they got a good family. They got children that love the Lord, and they seem to have it together. They got the structure. And so listen to what they say. That don't mean you have to follow everything that individual may advise you to do. I know times change and things change, but it do you well before you get on your high horse because you done been to college and you done got all this knowledge and you got all this brain power. You better stop and try to figure out what you've accomplished with it up to this point. And so that's why he says you need to bow down to my wisdom. You need to submit to what I've achieved with the choices that I have made. That's what Solomon is telling us. So he says attend. He says bow. Then he says in verse 2, he says regard. That thou mayest regard discretion. Now the word regard means to guard. Or watch. Or to protect with caution. So here's what he says. He says, you need to attend to my wisdom and you need to bow down your ear to my understanding. You need to respect the choices that I've made and the decisions that I've made and the outcome. And he said, you need to listen with a purpose that thou mayest regard, that you might see. If you reverence it and you respect it and you've listened to it with a purpose, then you're going to cherish it and you're going to guard it. You're going to protect that wisdom. And you'll do it with care and you'll do it with caution. Anybody listening? The word discretion in this verse, if you look it up, basically means from the text, plan or purpose. That's what it means. It means plan or purpose. So think about it, tie it together with me just a moment. That thou mayest regard that you might protect with caution your purpose and your plan. And that purpose and that plan is simply what? To serve and to sacrifice. Then he says in verse 2, keep knowledge. So he's given a lesson here. He said that thou mayest regard discretion and that thy lips may keep knowledge. Watch what you say. And so he says, you keep it. In other words, you preserve this knowledge or perception and understanding and wisdom. You preserve it. It lasts. It's not, well, you know, I do it today, but tomorrow I forgot about it, next week. No, it's a perpetual thing. You guard it. You cherish it because it's the plan and purpose for God in your life. You respect it. You bow down to it. You do obeisance to it. And you listen with purpose and you give attention to it. And so all of that is very important. And when you get all that balled up into one ball, You keep the ball. You keep it and you preserve it for your life. So when you sum up these verses that I've given you these words from that are your responsibility. So if you're going to attend, you know who's going to do it? You are, or you're not. Your responsibility to attend, to listen with purpose. It's your responsibility to bow down, and that's illustrated, that's figurative. You know, we're not looking for people to, you know, bow down, you know, physically, and no, it's figurative. It's putting out, amen, your demeanor and your spirit and your attitude toward what's being said. It's important. It's reverent. It's sacred. And the reason it's to be respected and submitted to and guarded and watched with the word regard is because it's your plan and your purpose for life. It's the will of God. So you sum these two verses up. The proverb is saying this: pay attention, listen with purpose, listen with reverence, and submit to what you know is right. Protect it with all care, because the perception of this knowledge and wisdom is the skill and ability for you to fulfill the purpose and plan of God for your life. I'm going to read that to you again. I wrote that down today. I'll read it to you again. So the sum of these two verses, or to sum up the two verses of this proverb, it's saying, pay attention, listen with purpose and reverence, and submit to what you know is right. We're not asking anybody to submit or attend or bow down to fallacy or foolishness, but the truth. Protect it with all care, because the perception of this knowledge and wisdom is the skill set and ability for you to fulfill the purpose and plan of God for your life. Amen. Let my people go that they may serve and sacrifice to the Lord. You're not going to do that if you're wrapped up in the world, if you're controlled and under the bondage of Egypt. Amen. The devil. So here's what he does when he closes out those two verses, which is the thrust of chapter 5 on our responsibility. He then warns of the snare and the destruction a strange woman can bring to that purpose. That's what he does. You can shipwreck your life with the flesh. Notice verse 3 and 5. For the lip, right after verse, you know, attend, bow, regard, keep. Then he says, for the lips of a strange woman drop as an honeycomb, and her mouth is smoother than oil. But her end is bitter as wormwood, sharp as a two-edged sword. Her feet go down to death. Her steps take hold on hell. And the list goes on. But that's not what I'm exhorting about tonight. But all of this from there on deals with the strange woman and the effects that a strange, whorish woman can have on your life that will then shipwreck the ability for you to fulfill the plan and purpose of God for your life. That's a fact. And he's talking to his son. But it can be applied either way. Amen. Then in verse number 7, we don't have to deal with this word. He says, hear me now, therefore. It's important. He said, hearken, understand, listen. We've talked about the word hear. That's the first word we actually dealt with in the text. Spent a service on it, if I remember right. In verse number 7, he says, hear. But it's an urgency in this verse. He said, you better hear me now, boy. Amen. Depart, he said, O ye children, and depart not from the words of my mouth. Then he says in verse 8, remove. Now, whether or not you hear what I say tonight, I have no control over that. Whether you attend to it, whether you bow to it, whether you regard it, I have no control over that tonight. People think I do. People call me up and say, preacher, you know so-and-so is doing this, done that, did this, done this, whatever the case may be. And I may know and I may not know. But I don't know what they think I'm supposed to do. I preach the truth to them. But everybody thinks, it's almost, I'm going to tell you how I feel most of the time. And any pastor that's trying to pastor a church, and Brother Randy's pastored, Brother Craig's pastored, Brother James is pastored. Any man that has ever been worth his salt that's pastored a church, when anybody in that congregation does something that mars the testimony of that church or does something wrong, he takes it personal. And he feels like in some way he has failed God. That's how we feel. That's why we get mad. That's why we get aggravated. That's why, man, you know, preachers preach with an attitude sometimes. Well, you had a bad spirit. Probably did. God sent a bad spirit one time. May have been sent of the Lord. Is anybody listening? And so he says, hear. And then in verse 8, he says, remove. He says, remove thy way far from her and come not nigh to the door of her house. So verse 7, he says, hear. Verse 8, he says, remove. But those are your responsibilities. That word remove means to move far away, to distance yourself. If it's a strange woman, if it's a whorish woman, if there is an element, amen, that you know is solely governed and energized by the lust of the flesh, and there is no plan or purpose of God in the will of God, you better distance yourself. And you better do it fast. But fulfilling your flesh is more important than the plan and purpose for the will of God for your life, then there's not much I can do for you. But if you will bow down your ear and attend to this and keep it and regard it and cherish it and realize how reverent it is, amen. Are you listening? Then you can find someone that you can enjoy your life with and serve God with that young lady. Because he then, through the rest of these verses, then gives the importance of maintaining the proper relationship with a wife. But then again, warns of a whorish woman. He talks about, amen, being satisfied. Let her be as, verse 19, let her be as the loving hind, pleasant roll at her breast, satisfy thee at all times, and be thou ravished always with her love. So if that be the case, why in verse 20 would you, and I'm not supposed to be preaching all this. He said, why would you be ravished with a strange woman, embrace the bosom of a stranger, when you have someone that loves you, that's vowed to you, that's committed to your life? Verse 22, his own iniquity shall take the wicked himself, and he shall be holden with the cords of his sin. He shall die without instruction, and in the greatness of his folly he shall go astray. Pretty serious words, isn't it? All because he was told. He was told the truth. He didn't attend to it. He didn't regard it. He didn't bow down to it. And he didn't keep it. And he wrecked his life. He threw the will of God out the window. Amen. Amen. And that's a serious matter. I hope you understand that. Serve and sacrifice. That's what God wants you to do. Serve and sacrifice. It's well pleasing to the Lord. Amen. Serving God. I have no regrets. No sad songs to sing. There's nothing that I've ever sacrificed in that regard that God, I mean, when you give yourself to the Lord in sacrifice, a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. So those two words go hand in hand, sacrifice and service. You give yourself to God, and I promise you, you will never be dissatisfied or unfulfilled in life. You give yourself wholly unto God, and you will be content and comfortable as you serve him in this life. That is a fact. Amen. So he gives that importance of the maintaining that right relationship with a wife. And so now we go to chapter number 6. Let me just give you a couple of Well, I got more words there than I thought. Amen. Amen. Chapter number 6, right quick. Let me give you a couple. And we've talked about this. This is a knothead thought here. Verse 4. Give not sleep to thine eyes, nor slumber to thine eyelids. Well, preacher, I need to sleep. Everybody needs to sleep. Proper sleep is critical. I mean, your health and everything about your entire body is affected by proper sleep. And if you work through the day, if you do manual labor through the day, your body gets tore down, your muscles get tore down. They tell us that when you enter into the proper kind of rest and sleep, that your body is able to heal. So some of you ought to be perfect. Perfect health. Because you spend, amen, a lot of time healing. But he said, give not. And so you need to understand that there's a time to get up and get with it. Amen. And it is very important that you understand that. And I'm going to tell you something. If you're a man, you're expected to work a job and provide for a family. And if you can say, well, preacher, I just don't want to do that, then you need to figure out some other world to live in. You need to try to go to Mars or something. Because in America, if you're going to make a living, unless you're going to be a deadbeat on welfare and on government assistance and feed off of people that do work, amen, and be a bum, then you're going to have to get up and go to work. And so you're not going to, as we've always said, you don't hoot with the owls and crow with the chickens. Don't mix. So you get the proper amount of sleep, but you don't lay around in the bed all day. You get up and you get with it. There's a life out there for you to live. Amen. And I don't know how many times I was late. I overslept. Arise. That's what that verse is talking about. Give not sleep to thine eyes, nor slumber to thine eyelids. Deliver thyself as a robe. Then he says, there's another word, deliver. So give not, that's your responsibility. I've known people, if I'm not mistaken, I think it was Brother Mickey Kofer. He's in Mongolia. I think some folks are out there from Brother Narsha's helping them with their teen camp there in Mongolia this week. And so Brother Mickey, I mean, he had them old-fashioned alarm clocks. You ever seen them with the big old bells on the top of them, you know? And he had two of them. He had one by the bed, and then he had one all the way across the room in a drawer, you know, covered up with stuff. It was loud. But he knew is when he wake up, he knew he going to hit that one by the bed. But he's going to have to get up out of the bed to go cut that other one off. If you have to do that, then do it. Amen. But be on time. Be where you're supposed to be when you're supposed to be there. Amen. That's what he's talking about. That's your responsibility. Now, I went from one extreme to the other, but that's what he's saying. You need to get up and go to work. You need to be on time. You need to be consistent. My alarm clock didn't go off. Well, have you three or four? I mean, that'll work maybe once or twice, but after a while, that gets old to a man that's expecting you to be at work on time. Then in verse 5, he said, deliver thyself. That word deliver means snatch away, escape, rescue, save, to recover. He says you need to rescue yourself and you need to escape thyself as a roe from the hand of the hunter and as a bird from the hand of the fowler. Because he's talking about your productivity. And if you got a lazy streak, then you need to try to find you an eraser and erase that streak. Or you're going to be a deadbeat and a bum. And so you need to figure out, there is no reason, and we all have, you know, that word forget. I hate that word. And I've said it here tonight concerning myself. And, you know, I have been forgetful, but I'm not as forgetful as some people think I am in some, you know, some ways, amen. But anyway, I'll not go there tonight. But We have so many tools at our disposal to eliminate completely that excuse. I remember telling some young men, I believe that Josh maybe was one of them back years ago. I said, if you have a problem because your world maybe is a little overwhelmed with things going on and you let things slip your mind and it creates problems and contention and conflict and struggles. And if you're in the construction business or any other kind of business, when you forget something, you forget somebody, that becomes a problem. And then when that becomes a problem, 90% of the time, it becomes problematic. Because when you don't do what you say when you say, then they're going to start looking at other things. That's how that works in the construction business. Some of you probably figured that out by now. But I mean, I said, just get you one of them little spiral notebooks and stick in your back pocket. And this, when somebody tells you something or you need to, something to do something or something you got a timeline on, I said, just pull it out and write it down. Stick in your pocket. Look at it at night. When you wake up in the morning, open it up and just read it. But now we got phones and tablets and reminders and alarms and everything else. And there's really no justifiable excuse of forgetting anything that's relevant with all the tools that are at our disposal. Amen. So he says, deliver thyself. Don't be caught laying in the bed and being a sluggard and having a problem. Amen. Let me finish this up, can I? Then he says, go in verse 6. Go to the ant, thou sluggard. Then he says, consider her ways and be wise. Amen. And then he says, how long will thou sleep? He ties your sleeping issue with the ant and the fact that you're lazy and a sluggard. When wilt thou arise out of thy sleep? So three words. Well, there's more than three words. I'm going to just quit right there because I'm going to be long. Let me just say this. Go. Make an effort to learn and perceive the success and the survival of others. Amen. If the power went down tonight and we had no electricity at the house, I'm not going to worry about it too much. If it's a dead of winter and cold, I'm not going to worry about it too much. But there's people in the inner city, if the power went out for a number of days, it would be chaotic. Crime everywhere. Because people can't survive. They don't know how to deal without the luxuries of life. He said, just go look at the ant. Go have a ruler, but they get things done. Yeah, I thought about this today. You know, people had big families years ago, big families. You know why they had big families? Most of them had farms. And those big families were raised up with skill sets to help dad farm. Now, I'm not saying they had kids just for that purpose, but some of them did. There are people that are a member of this church that had to quit high school to come and help their father work the farm. Are you listening? And so we're raising children, whether it's a big family or a small family, but they don't have a clue how to even take the trash out. They don't do anything. So what's the purpose? What's going on there? You might want to take your children out in the yard, find you an anthill, and make them sit there and just look at what's going on through the day. Amen. Get a good idea of what's taking place. You need to consider it. What that word consider means, you need to consider her ways. Take a look at all that's going on, all that's taking place in the busyness. That word consider means to advise thyself and take heed and think about it and have respect, not be critical or jealous. Are you listening? And then he says in verse 9, get out of bed. Arise, stand up, get up and get at it. We'll get the other few in chapter 6 here later. And then he closes out basically with the same admonition. Let me just go ahead and give them to you. Can I? He says, arise, stand, perform, get up, get at it. Verse 20, keep, observe with care and caution, the same word we've already talked about, to guard with fidelity, devotion. Don't let it ever be overturned in your life. That's what he says. He says, keep. Let me get back to my text. I'm just going to read these and be done, all right? So we can cover some ground. I won't be 5 minutes. You'll just wait on me for a second. Don't run off. Verse 20, my son, keep my father's commandment and forsake not the law of thy mother. We've talked about that same verse. So with devotion, you guard it with fidelity. You don't let it get overturned. You don't let anybody change your mind about the truth, because the truth stays the truth. And then we've said this. He said, bind, there's that word in verse 21, bind them continually upon thine heart, tie them about thy neck. Those two words basically mean that you strengthen them. You strengthen, you knit it, you bind it, you knit it, or you league it as one, amen, to gird. And so these instructions, this guidance, this perception and wisdom, amen, you just let it get balled up and wrapped up, and you tie it and you bind it in your heart. And it becomes stronger and stronger and stronger. And then you tie it. It means to lace or tie up. You don't allow those things you've been taught to get loose. Okay? And then here's what he says in verse 23 and following. For the commandment is a lamp, and the law is light, and reproofs of instruction are the way of life. So here's what we're talking about. Purpose and plan, right? Is that not what we've emphasized? Sacrifice and serve. And here's what he says. The commandment is a lamp, and the law is light, and reproofs of instruction are the way of life. And here's what he's given it to you for. To keep thee from the evil woman. I ain't trying to be mean to the women tonight. But there's some women. We said that there's some evil women. Whorish women. Strange women. To keep thee from the evil woman, from the flattery of the tongue of a strange woman. Lust not after her beauty in thine heart. Neither let her take thee with her eyelids. For by means of a whorish woman, a man is brought to a piece of bread. And the adulteress will hunt for the precious life. Can a man take fire in his bosom and his clothes not be burned? Can one go upon hot coals and his feet not be burned? So he that goeth into his neighbor's wife, whosoever toucheth her shall not be innocent. The list goes on and on. And that's not my message. But that's what he's saying. He's saying you better keep yourself in a position where you can serve and sacrifice. And these little words of admonition are words that are designed to maintain an ability for you to serve God in the will of God.